Our scripture reading today is from the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 3, verses 9 through 13. It can be found in your Pew Bible on page 192 of the New Testament, or if you're reading in the large print, it can be found on page 249. Verses 9 through 13. Hear these words. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy that we feel before our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you face to face and restore whatever is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father Himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, just as we abound in love for you. And may He strengthen your hearts in holiness, that you may be blameless before our God and Father as the coming of our Lord Jesus with all His saints. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
This is the gospel. This is the word of God. If it is your custom to stand with the gospel, I invite you to do so at this time. Let us prepare to hear the word. This is from the gospel of John, the 20th chapter, beginning with the 19th verse. It was the evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And Jesus said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forget the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, was one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But Thomas said to them, Unless I see the mark of the nails and put my fingers in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your fingers here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Advent candle wreath is a relatively new invention. The sense of traveling and preparing in the Advent season is an older idea, but the Advent candle wreath with the four different candles is a newer invention, and the names of each of the candles varies depending upon whatever the pastor decides to do. In some church, it's prayer, penitence, repentance, and supplication. In some, it's faith and hope and joy. And so it's always curious to see where we're going to go and how that's all going to fit together. But this morning's candle is faith. Faith. Now, faith, that's one of those interesting words. It's kind of like the word believe. They're not quite the same. And maybe that's another sermon for another time. Mark, why don't you work me up a sermon on that, will you, buddy? The thing is, he will, and that's what worries me. Man. Jesus appeared to the disciples. What an interesting passage. You know now why I chose that. He comes to them, he appears to the apostles in the upper room. The doors are locked, so you can't. The Jews, they're afraid. When he was on the cross, you remember the men fled. They were in fear for their lives. the women could remain. They were, I'm sorry to use the phrase, but they were nobodies that no one was going to persecute. And so they were the ones who remained at his feet. And that time and praise, I don't agree with, but I'm simply stating how that was at that time. And the apostles have all fled, and now they're gathered, and they're worried because maybe they'll be arrested. Maybe they will be crucified. And they're in the room, the door is locked, and Jesus appears among them. Don't ever skip that particular part. They are locked in the room, and He appears among them. He doesn't open the door and trot in. They tell Thomas, and what does he say? I think he's an engineer. Rich, I believe, where did Rich Schneer go? There he is back there. I bet he was an engineer. He says, no, I want to see the data on that, right? You bet it. I come with a little bit of engineering background, so unless I see and touch his hands and place my hand in the holes in his hands and his side, I will not believe. And so he does. See, Jesus appears again, and he turns to Thomas and said, here's proof. So is that faith? No, that's proof. That's the two are related, but they're opposites. Seeing, holding, touching, that's not faith. I have always wanted to have my favorite football team be the very best team. I've hung in with the Broncos. I love the Broncos. But Green Bay Packers, I was thinking they're a great team. I think I'll be in favor of the Green Bay Packers. Now they've lost 3 games. I want to have faith in them, but they keep losing. What kind of faith do we have in our football team if we lose faith when they lose? See, I want the proof. I want to get down. Wouldn't it be nice if your football team is the one that always won? You know, you could just go ahead and make up the T-shirt at the beginning of the year, champions for that year. Super Bowl, you could start wearing the ring when they started their games. You know, it'd be great. Would that be faith, though? No, faith is sticking with them, even if there are those potholes in life and things go amiss. Do we believe where we have not seen faith? Faith is not about winning and losing, and I want to make sure that we unpack that piece too. You know, sometimes people will fall away from the church because they say, well, I came to church and I gave in the offering and I would sing the hymns and was there every Sunday morning and bad things happened in my life, so I quit. I hate to break it to you, but bad things happen to good people too. Faith is not about doing something because you get something back for it. It's not about quid pro quo. A good friend of mine years ago, he's passed now, but he and his wife retired and they had a motorhome, one of those fifth wheel things. They lived in it for several years, but they traveled down into the Southwest somewhere, I'm not sure exactly where, but they got to know a lot of Native Americans who lived on the reservation with them and they learned metalsmithing, jewelry, squash blossom necklaces and the silver with the turquoise. And he became very adept. He was quite a good jeweler at all of that. And so he became friends with them and he learned at their feet and they became very much family. One day he asked one of them, he says, what are your beliefs to this Native American fellow? And the Native American fellow says, well, what do you mean? He says, well, he says, I see that, you know, this, there's a Mennonite group here helping out with your tribe. He says, oh yeah, I'm a Mennonite. He says, first, the Roman Catholics came first, he said, and they wanted to bring us extra clothing in the wintertime, so we all became Catholics. Then the Methodists came and they were bringing us extra food, so we all became Methodists. And then the Baptists came and they wanted to bring us, you know, just Mormon, he'd been just about everything. So he had been faithful as for the perks. What do you get out of it? What is in the midst of it? And faith isn't that. Sometimes we lose track of that, and sometimes we have people that come to churches thinking that's what it's for, and when it doesn't happen, they fall away. Maybe that's the title, Wimpy Faith. I don't know what the title is about. I just wrote it. I don't know what it's about. I know a fella, and this guy is the kind, you know the kind, he could take and he could just, there's dirt in his yard and he could fashion it into an automobile. You know that kind. The other one that's even harder for me to imagine is a person that'll take, and he'll just take a piece of junk and all of a sudden he gets, messes around, and it'll turn into a piece of art. And you'll look at it and say, wow. You know, but I knew this fella, and he was one of these fix-it types that couldn't fix anything, do anything. And we were talking about something. He says, I have faith in my own two hands. I can fix things. I can do things. I can make things. I have faith in me and my hands. I didn't confront him real hard, but what if a stroke? I'm beginning to feel some arthritis talking to me. Where's your faith in your own hands? And who gave you those skills? You know, Peggy's sitting over here. She's hiding behind me, but I'm going to pick on her a little bit. She does these things with her fingers there on the keyboard and her toes, too. And, you know, I couldn't do that for the life of me. God didn't give me that kind of gift. God gave me a gift to do something, but having faith in my own two hands... You have faith in your hands and feet. We have faith in your hands and feet. She's laughing at me. But God gives us those gifts and graces. Do we somehow think that we invented that? That we created that? That we made ourselves artists or craftsmen or cooks or musicians? Gifts and graces are gifts of God. And to depend on that and say, I have faith in myself is kind of... upside down. I'm a little worried, too, that wimpy faith is directly proportional to security and wealth and power. You know, people have good faith when everything's going well. You know, the people on my Titanic had a lot of faith in the Titanic right and up until that very instant when they touched the iceberg. But that's wimpy faith, isn't it? Colorado Springs, a perpetrator. I don't want to know his name. I am intentionally not learning the names of people who do horrific things to become famous. I refuse. Is that my angry response? Maybe I'm not being very loving there, but this is not okay. This perpetrator, we had heard about it on Friday. Paula treated us to the Lion King. How many of you gotten to see the Lion King? Boy, have you got your lions crossed. I love that line. Yeah, somebody remembers it. You know, a couple of you. All right. Well, anyway, we were going in there and we're getting ready to sit down. And this woman was in there and she was checking on her phone. And she was trying to get the latest news on what had happened in Colorado Springs. It was still unfolding about then. And she looked at me and she said, the world has gone nuts. The world has just gone nuts. And we were trying to get going. It wasn't the time to sit down and say, well, let's have a conversation. You know, we were trying to find our seats and get settled. Later, she had brought her nephew, a six-year-old nephew. If you want to go see The Lion King, take a six-year-old with you. That was just too much fun. Melissa on this side, the six-year-old Paula, it was just a delightful time. And thank you again, sweetheart. She said, I got to see The Lion King in New York. She said, this will be the third time she's seen it somewhere else. But she said, I saw it in New York. And she says, I got to see the Statue of Liberty. And she said, and the Twin Towers were still standing. And we both blinked a minute. And she says, that was before the plane hit him. Because the six-year-old was cocked his head. And he said, did the plane hit him on purpose? And she said, yes. She said, there was a couple of people. Or just a couple of people that did that on purpose. A couple of bad people. And I kind of smiled. You see, she has faith. She has faith that the vast majority of us are good people, that there are a few bad people, and there is bad in the world. And that's true, and that happens. But she didn't give up, and she didn't pause. She said, none of the other people on the plane planned it. None of the other people wanted it. She says, just a couple of bad people. And the boy nodded his head like, good. I don't want it to be a lot of people. You know what I'm saying? There's some bad, but there's a lot more good. That's called faith, isn't it? It's especially if you watch the evening news too often. Faith isn't just the name of the candle. It isn't just the particular Sunday in Advent. Could be. Some people might leave it that way. What's faith? Oh, yeah, it's one of the four Sundays of Advent. It's becoming a tossed around political slogan, and that's sad, and that's awful, and that's dangerous. And that's, I won't go much more further down that road. Let's leave it alone. And faith is not a last resort. I've heard people that said, I didn't believe until everything in my life had crushed around me. And there was nothing else, and then I found God. Is that the way God wants us to come to faith? You know, I'm not criticizing that may be a way to come to faith, but God certainly doesn't cause things to collapse around us to force us to God. And I worry about that. See, I live, faith is where I live. Faith is my everyday. Faith is my, doggone it, I blew out my knee. Or, hey, look, my knee is pretty good today. The faith is still the same one. It's still the same one that says, regardless of what happens, good or bad, I still know God is with me. When the arthritis comes creeping in, when I hear about a shooter in Colorado Springs, when the doctor says that terrible word that starts with C and ends with cancer, when you get old and your body is not 25 anymore, I still have the same faith that God is still with me, hasn't given up on me, and that God will take care of me whatever happens. I think that's what faith is supposed to be, and I will not live in fear. You know, we thought about that. Here we were at the Lion King. There was, according to, we did some quick calculation, 3,000 people in Temple Buell. It was full. It was sold out. And I'm thinking, what a space for a terrorist act. Oh, my goodness sakes. And there wasn't any security. I mean, the only security was, did you buy a ticket? But I have faith in 3,000 other people that we were there for the right reasons. And I will not be terrorized. You know, I will not be terrorized. I will not allow myself to be led to begin to demonize a group. I'm glad this perpetrator was not Muslim. I'm going to get myself a t-shirt that says, I love to hug Muslims. Because doggone it, they've been beat up over this. And the vast majority, just like the people on the plane, they don't agree with any of that. This terrorism that's happening has no more to do than with Muslims than the Spanish Inquisition had to do with Christianity. We need to own some of the people that have claimed Christianity for their causes and say, no, not my Christianity. That's not who it is and what it's about. And I'm willing to stand up against those who would begin to narrow out a group and demonize them. The McCarthyism, remember when he singled out people for communism. That was an evil time. More evil time was the internment of Japanese Americans in World War II. People born and raised and lived here for a generation or two, and they stuck them in these camps. I will not. My faith is stronger than that. I will be about whatever social action I am able to be about. You see, I have a boss that I trust implicitly. This boss is the judge, and he knows what's right and wrong on every iota of everything that's happened with every person. It's a great boss to work for. He's son of a carpenter. You might have heard of him. We're going to talk about him on Christmas Eve a little. And he taught me to love my neighbors, not to fear them, not to run away from them, not to turn around. And I have faith that he's leading me in the right directions and that I can love. And if something, God forbid, happened, something awful, atrocious, and there is death and I am still in God's arms, my faith says that too. We read Thessalonians today. It's kind of what started this whole thought process for me about faith. You see, Paul had just started the church in Thessalonica. He and his group, there had been nobody there. And he went and he founds this church. He births it like a, you know, I'm not a mom. Well, I am, but I'm not. You know what I mean. But he has this church that he's brought up from nothing and launched. And then he's had to leave. And he's worried, how can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy that we feel before our God because of you? His heart is still connected with that body of people, but he's worried about them. Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you face to face and restore whatever is lacking in your faith. I think Paul missed it there. How can Paul restore their faith? You see, that's a good question. Where does faith come from? Does faith come from Ma and Pa? I grew up with faith. I grew up knowing that God is out there and loved me. And is that Ma and Pa? And is that the faith that carries me? I think that faith is that until a certain point in time and you grow up and realize your parents are finite. That was a tough day. And then you begin to challenge some of the things they've taught you. And at some point you need to say, well, my faith now isn't about Ma and Pa anymore. It's about me and, well, me and the boss. You see, it's a whole different faith then. And Paul can't augment their faith any more than I can help someone who says, my faith feels weak. And I'll turn to them and say, here, I'll give you a little of mine. How can you do that? How can you help somebody have faith who hasn't faith? There's another sermon for you. That'll be number two in the series. Okay. But Paul wants to meet with them and restore whatever's lacking in their faith. He doesn't need to be there. You see, the faith has never been about him at all. It's about their relationship with the Lord. Do we have faith? Do we have faith? And as I'm, some of you know, I just passed the milestone. I'm a speed limit, 60. And thank you all who came up and said, you're still a baby. Several people pointed that out to me, and I appreciate that. The left knee doesn't feel as baby-like as it used to, but that's neither here nor there. As the journey continues, what will it bring? Some of the things that I used to be able to do, I can't do anymore. Some of the things are harder and they take a lot longer. And sometimes this gray hair out here seems to be growing inward and the brain gets a little bit gray. I'm not sure if I'm old enough to call it Alzheimer's. Maybe it's mid-Alzheimer's still. But I have faith that no matter what comes, how it is, God's walking alongside of me. God's carrying me when there are times. How do we continue to grow that in ourselves? And more importantly, how do we express it in the world? We're in a world, there's a lot of questions, there's a lot of people, and there's people that are getting caught up in some of these causes and some of this rhetoric. I worry about the perpetrator in Colorado Springs. He got caught up in some of the rhetoric, didn't he? He got caught up in all the phrases and all the words and all the stuff. I don't know what happened with him. He's not right. Anyone who would hate like that, something's broken. I just have to turn back to God. That was the 11th verse in that passage in Thessalonians. Now, may our God and Father Himself, our Lord Jesus, direct our way to you. That's a pretty darn good prayer. There's faith. Amen?